Welcome to Dweller of the Dark. We are a channel honoring the yellowed and blackened bones of many prominent authors. We will be digging up several obscure, strange, and forgotten authors who influenced many of the great horror, science fiction, and fantasy writers today. More tales of the horrifying, obscure, strange, and forgotten are climbing out of the tombs. Subscribe, comment, like, donate, or I'll send Thaddeus Forge to steal your heathen soul. Unknown horror masters, send us ghoulish delights for the Skull and Bones collection. Your pound of writer's flesh will continue to feed our ghouls for now. Books, websites, podcasts, in the links below. Children of Horror, Legion of Ghouls. Tonight, this one is wholeheartedly dedicated to you bloodthirsty fiends of the dark. Creatures in Scotland, like the soon-to-be-published Stephen Sinclair. From the gates of hell, the Legion Master, ARWCWB. Across the Arizona desert, the stalking skinwalker, Thomas Swafford. The ghastly haunter of the dead, Phantom Generator 237. And in those dark seas, the Leviathan that makes Jaws scared to enter the water, Sharky Sharkins. But especially to all you horrific boils and ghouls, thanks for your continued support. A second blood-curdling scream to my fellow writers, judges, and jurists of the HWA. Long may your life fires burn brightly and eternal. I present a seafaring tale in that dastardly of colors, crimson. I submitted this epic story chosen from a pre-approved list of characters that we could spin a ghastly yarn from. The legend of Long John Silver and the bats of the Blood Tide roared out as a horde of hellion bats. Our vampire pirate tale made it to the Horror Writers Association shortlist for their Scaring and Daring Adventures Anthology Contest 2023. As stated by the HWA judges in the final selection, Arthur, please know that although this submission, The Legend of Long John Silver and the Bats of the Blood Tide, was not accepted, you made it into the very final round of consideration, i.e., the top level of the shortlist, meaning for all intents that this story was exceptional in many ways. Only 18 stories were held for this final round of deliberation. HWA judges, Scaring and Daring Adventures. Boils and ghouls, I was honored to get shortlisted for this bloody tale. You can bet your bats that I'll be releasing this one in some sort of collection soon. Of course, the book, as always, will be written in blood to the Children of Horror and Legion of Ghouls. The Legend of Long John Silver and the Bats of the Blood Tide by Jeffrey LeBlanc. Hi. Captain Long John Silver, with fiery torch and hemlock stake, drove the winged devils back into the fathoms ere the daybreak. Captain Jim Yellowbeard Hawkins.
Red skies by night! Red skies by night!
Squawked the emerald green parrot, Captain Flint, from the slouching and irritated shoulder of her captain master.
Arr, my feathered friend! That they be, but these red skies and blood tides be no delight.
Captain Long John Silver lurched his towering frame on his hemlock crutch and looked out squinting on the horizon. Shifting his weight to readjust at the captain's wheel, he lifted a golden spyglass he had in his breast pocket and studied a heaving structure on the red tides.
Pieces of eight, pieces of eight.
Captain Flint flapped his wings excitedly. Long John Silver shook his head as the parrot did so. Then the one-legged pirate captain continued his cautious study of a sinking derelict across the bow. With a slow nod and a mischievous devilish smile, Captain Long John Silver answered his green-feathered companion.
We not be pirating for plunder today, Captain Flint. Today be vengeance.
The winds gusted across the sun-tanned face, the glacial blue eyes and gray and red beard of Captain Long John Silver. The sea-weathered, towering pirate narrowed his gaze as he stood at the captain's wheel, spying what looked like a listing derelict. Or maybe it was the Leviathan itself giving a last gasp in a pool of sanguine sea.
"No, I'd recognize you anywhere on the seven seas. Oh, poor dear. Look at what this miserable creature has done. Tattered pirate flag, the tarnished golden mermaid figurehead, and her very name, Bloodhawk, seems ready to fall into the fathoms. That monster sucked the very life out of you as well, my ship."
The galleon Bloodhawk had been Long John Silver's first prize in the golden age of piracy. Because of his bravery, or despite it, the daring maneuver to breach in between the British charge reloads had gained him favor and immortality amongst his pirate brethren. As reward, Captain Flint, the silver-haired real pirate, not the parrot, awarded the Bloodhawk to Long John. An incredible feat for a boy only a few years older than Jim Hawkins.
"The scoundrel cares for nothing, Jim. Like a vulture, he chews and gnaws at everything he touches until the bare bones are left."
He continued to narrow his eyes and seethe under his breath a dozen pirate curses as the Bloodhawk creaked and heaved in the blood tide. His crumbling, sinking trophy, the scourge of the seven seas 20 years past, was now broken and tattered on the verge of sinking near a jungle coast off Papua New Guinea.
"This man really crossed you, Captain Silver."
Jim Hawkins put a hand up to block the evening sun's crimson glare. His eyes widened in disbelief as he nudged Long John Silver. Captain Silver turned to the wide-eyed boy of no less than 13, a boy that had on more than one occasion proved his mettle and saved his bacon when the chips were laid low. He rubbed his beard, then looked down to the boy, who also stared off on the sinking ship grounded on a coral reef.
"As I was saying, Jim Hawkins, there's never been a man save Lord Albert Henry that gave me the shivers. But on reflecting, this scoundrel we be chasing ain't a man, nor his ilk that flap along with him. He's the only creature, I swear, that looked me between the eyes, took a full charge to the gut, and seen a good day out of wood."
Then Long John shrugged and grimaced.
"Though I can confess, he hasn't seen the sun in over 100 years.
"How can that be, Captain Silver?"
The sandy-haired, blue-eyed boy looked up to the pirate captain with a raised right brow of skepticism.
"You must be joking, no man."
Captain Long John raised his left palm solemnly to interrupt. He adjusted his black leather corn hat, squinted with his left eye, and leaned in a whisper.
"As I said, young Jim, 'tain't no man on that sinking ship. The Bloodhawk is dead ahead, Captain."
A squawking voice announced from the crow's nest. The young sailor, Salem Stevenson, belayed a second time to let the crew know their prize lay in wait.
"You heard him. Make haste to pull alongside that ship."
Hobbling, the one-legged pirate barked and growled his orders in haste to the crew to go alongside the sinking pirate ship. With his left eye squinting on the crew, he grinned with his eager, devilish delight that he'd finally be settling an old score with the very man who had stolen his pirate ship, the Bloodhawk, so long ago. In the moment, the aged, red-bearded sailor in his late 50s looked 20 years younger. And he'd look even younger once he ran Lord Albert Henry through and through the blade of his cutlass. Captain Silver ushered his fledgling future pirate to the starboard side of the main deck.
Jim, mind your eyes and ears when we breach her. These folk have a way of distorting things. What you see might not necessarily be what is there, even in daylight. They have a peculiar way.
Captain Silver had more than a jitter, and his hands clenched and unclenched, anticipating a rematch with the devious Lord Albert Henri. Yes, cold sweat poured across the stoic pirate's brow, knowing normal cutlass and pistol were useless on this fiend. He watched, seeing Jim Hawkins growing nervous himself with the way Long John was biting his lower lip and staring wide-eyed to the lower hold of the Bloodhawk.
I'm carrying on like a know-nothing knave on his first battle. Get a grip, Long John, and stay the tides.
He furrowed his brow, thinking and anticipating all of the tricks Lord Henri might try to use to dissuade him. Then throwing up a dismissive hand, Captain Long John Silver, the man with a face the size of a ham and the smile of a humble parson, moved in staggered haste from the captain's wheel, having first mate Ben Gunn assume steering the Hispaniola. His heart raced with excitement as he pegged along the mid-deck on his wooden left crutch. He dodged line and sailor to reach a better vantage point to see the Bloodhawk. All the while, he lumbered, avoiding pirate, tender, and shot. Between dipping and lunging across line and small cannon, the stoic captain never lost sight of the Bloodhawk as its silhouette loomed as a reaching dark hand behind the waning red smear of the setting sun. The man, whose face had stayed ageless despite long days sailing under blue skies, moved with the grace of a stalking panther. With the agility of a wild goat, he nimbly maneuvered with Captain Flint, squawking of treasure and tides on his shoulder. With the leap of a satyr or the launch of a fawn, he reached the starboard bow and pivoted on a rail. He shouted curses and sang a sea shanty as the crew launched ropes to snag the Bloodhawk. The crest and the wave made you the devil's slave, but Albert Henri, you never thought Long John would capture the knave. I'd say by the bow, you'd go to the locker beneath the main, but a blood-lusting heathen like you wouldn't fear that pain. So I'll rack your wicked wings to the crow's nest, my friend. From the gibbet and the line, your corpse will burn under sun for your sins. He put his calloused right hand over his brow to shade his eyes of ocean blue, adjusting his leathered hat and pushing back a strand of silver and red hair. He peered out at the Bloodhawk with a tight bearded grin. He spotted a key place to launch the hooks and shouted excitedly,
"Scoundrels and scallywags, throw the lines here on our port bow. And gentlemen, watch your necks."
His heart leaped with joyous anticipation, but in the same instant, Long John clenched his teeth at the listing ship with unnerving dread. Tattered and ripped sails, unfastened moorings, and the charred captain's quarters made the old pirate bite down his aged jaw in a disgusted rage.
Like everything else in his life, Lord Henri made my Bonnie Pearl a shadow corpse of her glorious early years. Some are destined to suck the life out of all they touch. We need be cautious, or we end up like the Bloodhawk as well.
By all accounts, the Bloodhawk was without crew, listing to sink. Long John steeled his rage, knowing he'd blunder if he caved to his anger at the sight of this abominable care of his ship. But it was a difficult task, seeing the skeletal hulk of she that had sailed him from the Caribbean to the Arctic Circle in search of adventure and plunder. A tear fell as they pulled in closer, and all took off their hats in a solemn moment of respect for their former home. The broken and battered heap of the Bloodhawk stayed silent as well, groaning only a warning for all to sail on. Long John heard the fall of skull-white barnacles off her ravaged lower hull. He smelled the decay of the wood and something else the closer he and the Hispaniola pulled in. gigs of stalactite crystals of salt are hanging in sheets from her moorings. I hear the crack of timbers from the kiss of the sea worms that have gnawed and ravaged her planking throughout. The closer pass and viewing caused Captain Long John Silver to issue a second prayer. But was this prayer for his once sparkling gem of a ship in the golden age of piracy? Was this wonder from Captain Long John Silver's youthful reign the sole focus of his spiritual reverence? Or for someone else? Why the worried brow, Captain? Yeoman Black Dog lumbered up with steel glints in his eyes and a pirate smile as he pointed. The ship is a derelict, and the man you most despise likely dead. And as I always say, dead men don't bite. By the way, I thought that was Israel Hans saying, Captain Silver growled. Israel Hans was in no longer need of it. Yeoman Black Dog gave a sneer to Jim Hawkins. Long John remembered that it was young Hawkins that had killed the insidious pirate when Israel Hand had treacherously tried to kill poor Jim back on Treasure Island. The boy still bore the dagger scar from that battle. I agree, Black Dog. But hold dear the items I issued ye all. Where the religious items, John, crucifixes, and the like for this one. Captain Silver grinned to Jim and tussled his hair playfully. Then he raised a brow, glanced for a moment to the yeoman, and said, "What ye said be true, that the restful dead don't bite." "Aye, that be true of a normal man, Black Dog. But this lot be no normal foe. Warn the men, dead or not. Watch out for this crew's bite." Yeoman Black Dog went wide-eyed and shook his head to the captain. Long John could see the man puzzled or bewildered. He ushered him off and reminded the pirate to caution the men. "Wrap their collars high up past the chin. These fiends gnash and bite throats, me hearties. Anyone bit, we will sadly have to put down like a dog." The yeoman winced and recoiled in response to Captain Silver's warning. "I almost learned that lesson the hard way, Jim. She..." Captain Silver tapered off, and his mind drifted a minute as the last line was made fast. "You almost learned your lesson the hard way? I find it hard to believe, sir. No one I've ever met on our adventures, and that includes the vile Captain Mendoza, got the better of you, Captain Silver." Jim shook his head in disbelief, then looked down at a silver crucifix that Long John was hastily throwing around his neck. "You said a she, though. Did a woman best you?" Captain Long John Silver winced at his too smart for his own good, Jim Hawkins. There was no way Jim was going to let it go. He'd find out one way or the other. He sighed and gave a wry grin to Jim. "Duchess Annabelle Henri, be the she, fine sir. That vixen, the daughter of Lord Henri, nearly got me, young Jim. Her kiss almost stole more than my ship." "Yucky rue, Captain Silver. A girl's kiss would make me lose my heart attack and grog." Jim Hawkins made a retching gesture and pretended to throw up over the side. Long John had a fit of bellowing laughter at his antics. "You'll see the yucky girls a little different when you're older, Jim Hawkins, as we are." Captain Long John wiped his eyes in mirth and set to tell his tale as the crew readied to board. "I was a young man, just 4 years older than you are now, Jim Hawkins. I met Annabelle." Long John spoke briefly and with purpose, glossing over the more intimate details of his tryst with the beautiful Duchess. In earnest, he wanted to avoid more comical outbursts from Jim. He explained how it was 20 years ago when the Bloodhawk had been the star-gemmed prize for an ambitious Captain Long John Silver, It had been his only love, and all he ever desired. Well, maybe just a few other trivial things. A keg of rum, a chest of gold, and of course, a brilliant star to sail his beloved Bloodhawk by. Had been his only other meager wants. My Bloodhawk had been stolen from me by that dog, Albert Henri. But to add to my woes, Annabelle Henri stole my heart. Neither were thieves, nor were they pirates. That bunch was something far, far worse to get the drop on me and my crew back then. And while I've told the crew he stole my ship, I will never tell them everything or how much of a fool I was. Or I'd certainly have another mutiny on my hands. So, you sailed the Cape of Good Hope when you ran into them, Captain Silver? Jim asked, with a raised right brow and pursed lips, puzzled.
Arr, Jim, it be so. They were on another sinking ship. That be the Galleon, 15-cannon Galleon Neptune. I'd have brought her ashore as another regal prize, but you know the swells and storms of that accursed cape.
We'd have certainly ran low into Davy Jones' locker if I had been a reckless captain, which I've never been. He paused a minute, watching his crew lay planks across to board the Bloodhawk.
But I should have sensed something dark was afoot, young Jim. Out on those deadly seas, the Neptune a-listing and preparing to sink, with just the Lord Henri, his daughter, and a few powdered dandies. No seasoned sailors running rigging on sail, and certainly no captain guiding the ship to safe harbor. Yes, quite strange, their explanation too.
The captain and the crew left us to perish,
was Lord Henri's reply when I made my inquiries.
That is strange indeed, Captain.
Jim moved with Long John to go aboard with him to inspect the Bloodhawk. The pirate captain could see the boy had become a little jumpier now that the crew was pushing forth to search for contraband, maybe treasure, and for sure any stores, especially if those stores proved to be the spiced Caribbean rum.
You have the silver musket I gave thee, Jim Hawkins.
Jim nodded to him and raised his vest, showing the pistol snug, secure in his belt. Then he showed Long John the dagger that had once belonged to the nefarious Israel Hand. It was the same one that Hand had used to try and kill him.
Good. I have one more item for you, my pirating apprentice, that you will need.
No sooner had Long John provided Jim Hawkins with his latest gift than the undead crew of the Bloodhawk unleashed their fanged attack. Swarms of bats flew up out of the hold as Salem, Stevenson, and Black Dog had pulled up the doors, barring the lower hatch. As they twisted and writhed with lanterns in front of them, a gray set of hands lifted to pull Salem down into the darkness of the hold. Everyone heard his screams and a splatter of something down in the pitch of the below deck. Black Dog scrambled from the open storage hold. He kicked in a convulsed panic at two bats that were far larger than your average brown and gray bat. Long John watched in horror as the yeoman fumbled and slipped on something shimmering black and gelatinous. It was then, and only then, under the brilliant orange light of torches and lanterns, that Captain Silver realized the whole deck were littered with the dead and decaying crew of the Bloodhawk.
Mercy to God. They truly be monsters on this ship.
Wide-eyed, Captain Silver hobbled on his one leg, avoiding a slip that would certainly prove less than fortuitous.
Mind your wits, men. Torch the bats and send fire into that hold. We'll burn the villains out and finish.
You would burn me to death, John?
The voice was soothing and soft as spider's silk. It carried the longing of a woman desperate to please and hungry to devour. And Long John Silver knew her voice too well. For the words of this vixen had once bewitched his lonely heart and took all he held dear.
Aye, I would, Annabelle. It would be mercy for what your father has done to ye.
Captain Long John Silver raised his lantern upon a woman of life frame, ghostly, blonde hair, with eyes of emerald green. She was cloaked in a hooded, radiant burgundy robe, a necklace of gold, with a gemmed ruby adorned her pale, lengthy neck. Above the top of the stone was the engraved word, John Silver.
I make the same offer, John Silver.
Annabelle walked slowly forward with her eyes welled in tears, blood tears. She unfolded her cloak, put her hands out defensively. Long John could remember the icy cold of her last embrace. He felt a similar hug from the iced winds of the Arctic.
Take my hand, take my eternal kiss, and be at my side. I will love you all our eternal days.
Long John Silver winced, knowing her words were a clever ruse, a lie.
That's where you and I disagree, Annabelle. Eternity is too long of a promise for the type of woman you are. You'd get bored with this hobbled old pirate and turn me as dry a husk as this crumbling ghost ship.
You know nothing of what I felt for you, John Silver. You would make everything that happened between us a lie. You truly believe everything I shared with you, the laughs, the music, the dancing, the kisses, were all a mask of deceit to steal the Bloodhawk.
She glided close, and Long John didn't turn away.
I didn't care about the ship, you fool.
Father wanted your ship to move us to a better port to hunt. I wanted to stay in Malabo with you and your jungle castle.
You always said the sweetest words, Annabelle.
Long John glanced at the shadowed hold of the sinking Bloodhawk. His face went expressionless for a minute. He wanted to lean in and kiss the beautiful Duchess Annabelle Henri's lips as he'd done so long ago, just before she'd been corrupted by evil.
How, even now, their red hue held all the mystery and allure Captain Silver had searched for in earnest his whole life on the turbulent seas.
But never had he found equal.
Now was his chance to roll the dice, tempt the fates, and take her eternal gift.
As a couple, as immortal vampires, they would have no foe that Captain Long John Silver could not vanquish.
There would be no treasure he could not secure. There would be no navy of any foreign country who would stand in his way.
But to give up my soul, Annabelle, to no longer feel the warmth of sunlight across my brow, or have to kill innocent folk every night, I'd just soon be one of them.
He pointed to the heap of desiccated corpses that lay strewn across the deck. Captain Long John Silver
felt the whir of a heated wind and the burn of two vice-like grips to his shoulders lift him. Then in the same instant, the talon grip tossed him across the wooden deck as a bag of flour with a thud.
On his back, Captain Silver's heart raced as a dark shadow perched on his chest.
He almost retched, smelling a sulfurous, ageless stench as of the opening of a thousand crypts.
Peering on the glimmering ruby eyes, porcelain-fanged face of Lord Albert Henri, Captain Silver knew possibly that his time had come.
I didn't steal your precious Bloodhawk, Captain Silver.
The vampire hissed indignantly.
I want it fair and square in our game of chance.
Long John squinted with his left eye and locked his right eye on Lord Henri. With a brooding lip, as the vampire kept him pinned, the pirate captain kept his cool in the dangerous moment.
Well, by the ways I see it, Your Grace, you had help.
Long John smiled over to Annabelle, who looked on bewildered. The vampire growled.
Rawr, if you think my daughter's charms caused you to lose.
Long John interrupted.
By no means, sir. She's a beauty. I'll give you that. When you were alive, I bet you had a hell of a time keeping the sea wolves at bay.
The vampire shook his head, gave a fanged smile, and rolled his eyes toward Annabelle as Long John went on.
No, I say the devil himself gave you that gift to read my mind. So, I say the game was rigged before I had even set foot in the henhouse game. Therefore, we agree to terms, and I take back my ship.
Lord Albert Henri lifted off Captain Silver and slapped his leg in uproarious laughter. He cast his right hand to his mouth and laughed some more.
I see why my daughter fell head over heels for you, Captain Silver. You truly are amusing. I must concede that over the years, I grew annoyed at her constant references to you. You don't have to fight us.
The vampire looked around as he saw his vampires being dispatched by various means. Garlic to the face, holy water to the eyes, and cutlass swipes to end them all. All these tactics Long John had trained his men in over the years he hunted for Lord Henri. He made sure to leave nothing to chance.
Join us, Captain, and be the dreaded scourge to the Seven Seas that you have always dreamed to be. Let me go!
Captain Silver heard a boy's voice, Jim Hawkins' voice, scream out in a terrified rage. He turned to see that his beloved Annabelle had gripped the foolish boy by his neck as a cat might a mouse.
Captain Silver, tell her to let me go. I don't want to hurt your lady friend.
Both the vampires had laughed hysterically and wickedly at Jim's warning. And just as Israel Hand had learned to his demise, their laughter had been a mistake. Captain Long John Silver screamed out his own warning to both.
I do as he says, Annabelle. He's a mite small, I agree, and poses no threat to your devilish ilk. Besides, he'd be less than a meal anyway.
On those words, Long John winked at Annabelle, who looked more than confused. The brave Jim Hawkins knew Captain Silver's wink all too well. He drove the silver-handled ash stake, Long John's earlier gift to the boy, straight into Annabelle's blackest heart.
The staked vampire fell back in shock and turned to cindered ash.
No! Screamed an enraged Lord Henri as the vampire, Albert Henri, gnashed his bloody teeth and flamed his ruby eyes in a final hellish outrage. Long John smiled. He thrust his hemlock crutch into the vampire lord's own vile heart as both vampire and pirate went over the ship's rail and plunged into the sea. Both swirled to the haunted fathoms of infinite darkness beneath the chilling crash and twisting waves of the blood tide. Realizing his last moments, Captain Silver gave his own roar to Albert Henri in return of triumph. Though Long John, too, would bear us gladly in the exchange. For what was life without your leg, your pirate ship, and your beloved?
Long John continued to keep his wooden crutch locked firm through the creature's ribcage and straight into the vampire's blackest heart.
Past the bubbles and the brine, he watched in final elation as the creature set ablaze beneath the waves. And in the same moment as the sea churned, Long John watched the vampire cinder to ash and dissolve away. With his task done, Jim Hawkins and his crew safe, Captain Silver gave in to the crushing fathoms and descended into the darkness of the sea's abyss. Sunlight burned across Long John's glacial blue eyes. Blinding light greeted him as he took a cool breath and let it out, feeling pains to both his shoulders and a stiffness to his tired frame. His head spun in a daze as he sat up, shaking the bats of bewilderment from his head. Rubbing his red-bearded chin, he looked around his captain's quarters, confused.
Had it all been just a nightmare? Was it all a fevered dream?
When he saw the gashes to his shoulders where Lord Albert Henri had set his talons deep during the battle. Around his neck had been placed the gold and ruby necklace that had adorned Annabelle's neck. Jim Hawkins, who had been sitting by his bed, jumped up.
You're back, Captain Silver. I knew no vampire could beat you.
Yes, Jim, those bat-winged devils were outmatched, I must agree.
He stood groggily, swooning slightly, as Black Dog and the men leered in, and grabbing a new crutch of ash, he hobbled out into the day to greet his brave men. On the wooden deck, With a crowd gathered, Captain Long John Silver gestured to everyone to remove their hats. He crossed himself and nodded for everyone to solemnly lower their heads.
Good Lord, we honor our dead who sacrificed all to save others. Also, we honor our vanquished foes. May they finally find peace. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, on the virus to be. Our men.
Thank you for listening.
Have a great night.